Celtics getting set to take on the Orlando Magic tomorrow night down in Florida. And with more on that, we're joined on the phone by our old friend. You know him from his work up here at ABC 7, Fox 22, now working for Spectrum Sports 360 down in the warmer climes, John Alba with us. Hello, John.
It's been a hot second, Rich.
It has indeed. How have you been, my friend?
I'm a lot tanner now. Keeping my hair with sustainable volume has been a challenge, but other than that, we're pretty much smooth sailing.
Are you using a conditioner, John?
Well, of course. I mean, I've been using conditioner since the day I left the womb, but outside of that, it's been good, man. You know, I actually got to head up to Orno a few weeks ago. I did a surprise appearance for Let's Wrestle, which is a Limitless Wrestling's developmental system up there in Orno, and had a blast, even if it was only a 16-hour trip that I was up there for. I love the people of Maine. I miss Maine, and it's always cool when we get to see Florida and New England interact here.
Yeah, well, how's the job going? Still going well? They obviously, you're still gainfully employed, so you're doing better than a lot of people in the business.
So far, knock on wood, right? It's been cool, man. You know, it's such a different gig than what we had going up there at ABC 7. It's a half-hour sports show 7 nights a week, no days off. And I host it probably 2 to 3 times a week, and then the rest of the week, I work on long-form storytelling. So think 360 style pieces. That's what I work on the rest of the week.
Well, that's fantastic.
So it's a really unique job with an emphasis on long-form storytelling, people who have overcome adversity in sports, athletes without limbs, special needs individuals, etc. So it's cool.
Let's talk a little Celtics here, and then I want to get your thoughts because you're a big baseball guy on the Hall of Fame as well. But let's start with this Magic team, 21-24 on the season. How would you rate their performance here in the first half of the year?
Yeah, I mean, they are trudging through things right now. They are very much beat up. They just came off a vicious stretch on the road. They had a 6-game West Coast streak. Right now, they're in the middle of playing a stretch. I believe, off the top of my head, it is 9 games in 15 days or something like that. That's a combination of a road trip and a small homestand without much break in between. They're dealing with the loss of Jonathan Isaac, who was developing into one of the NBA's very best defensive players. And they're a team that's in desperate need of a shooter. So it really all depends on what their opponent brings. They play tough defense, but if the shots aren't falling, they're a team that gets in trouble very easily.
Have you dealt much with our old friend Steve Clifford?
Yeah, I did a piece, which people can go check out. I believe it's still pinned to my social media. I spent 9 months working on a piece on Steve Clifford about his Maine roots and about his start at Woodland High School. And we got our hands on some old pictures of him from his days at Woodland, when he had a mustache and hair.
I remember those days well because I'm so old, I was broadcasting those games back in the day.
There you go. And we talked pretty extensively about how a small-town kid made it to the bright lights of the NBA, and it was probably my favorite piece I've ever done. And I spent, no exaggeration, close to 9 months working on it, just tracking down video, tracking down photos, actually getting a one-on-one interview with him. But he is the real deal, man. He is no nonsense, but at the same time, there's a very human element to him. He's a fantastic defensive head coach. And right now, the Magic just need some shooters. Markelle Fultz has obviously been an incredible story for them this year. Mm. But you need a lot more than just that.
Will he be available tomorrow night?
Will Markelle Fultz? Yeah, it seems like that. He's been dealing with it's essentially the fact that he's had to step up. DJ Augustin is out for the next 3 to 4 weeks with injury. So Markelle is instantly thrust into that top point guard spot. I'm so enamored with how Markelle, given everything that he's gone through, is so willing to just lower his shoulder, drive through the lane, and is not afraid to shoot his shot. You know, he can be a little reckless at times, but he's showing that he's playing like a top NBA draft pick. And when the Magic traded Jonathan Simmons and a protected draft pick for him, I thought then it was a steal, and now it's certainly emerged to that point where, I mean, this guy is playing like a top five NBA draft pick.
So how do they match up with the Celtics as we get ready for tomorrow night's game?
Again, this is not just with the Celtics, but it's with any team more or less. How does your opponent shoot? If you get your opponent on a poor shooting night, you might have a chance to beat them. Obviously, this is a Celtics team that we know is very much capable of scoring. I believe shot over 50% against the Grizzlies the other night. And typically when the Magic go against a superstar, they struggle. So what are you going to get from a Jason Tatum? You know, what is someone like him going to bring to the table? What are you going to get from a Kemba Walker if they're able to go? I know Kemba's a little beat up right now. But I think that's really what it boils down to. And if the Celtics are the well-oiled machine that we know they're capable of being, they can definitely beat a team like the Celtics pretty handily. But if the Celtics go cold on the floor, then the Magic defense gets to you a little bit, and it could be a good one.
From what you've seen in the NBA this year, is there anybody in the East that can touch the Milwaukee Bucks?
I really don't think so, right? Like, we're talking about the Heat as a legitimate potential number two seed, and I think they're on such a different playing field than what the Bucks are. And, I mean, like, right now, hypothetically, if the season ended today, we'd see a 2-7 matchup with the Magic, and I'd feel pretty good about the Magic going against a team like the Heat. But going against a team like the Bucks, I don't see how any team in the East touches them, honestly. And that's no disrespect to any other team. I just think they're that good.
We're talking with John Alba here on Downtown. Let's talk a little baseball. The Hall of Fame made its announcement earlier this week. No surprise, Derek Jeter got in, despite one Yahoo who decided not to vote for him. But yeah, I prefer to focus on the people who did, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how that happens, right? Like, this guy got 396 out of 397 votes, but the headline is the one guy that didn't vote for him, or the one girl that didn't vote for him. Derek Jeter is an icon, and it is pretty surreal to think that it wasn't that long ago he was one of the most dominant players in the game, and now he's taking his rightful spot in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And I'm thrilled for Larry Walker, man.
Me too.
I loved Larry Walker growing up. I thought, you know, when you talk about the Hall of Fame, and the argument always is, you know, how can you tell the story of the game without mentioning these people? And I feel like if you are a genuine baseball fan, and if you're a casual fan, maybe you don't feel this way as much, but if you're a genuine baseball fan, how do you talk about 90s baseball without the Blake Street Bombers? You know, Dante Bichette, Larry Walker, Andres Galarraga. You know, it's just, to me, you have to mention them in that conversation, and Larry Walker was just the embodiment of consistency. And I think it's good because, you know, people held that bias against him, of course, Field, but this goes to show you that people are opening their minds a little bit. And with how quickly he rose the ranks of the Hall of Fame voting, I think the next few years are going to get a little crazy. Not so much next year, because the ballot is much, much, much more open next year. But in the coming years, in 2021, when you see A-Rod and David Ortiz and those likes added to the ballot, are we going to see guys like Scott Rolen take big jumps? Mm. Are we going to see guys like Omar Vizquel, who, for all intents and purposes, if he didn't play in the era of Jeter and A-Rod and Nomar, that guy would have been close to a 10-time All-Star. So it's really interesting and intriguing to see how those individual cases will develop.
And, John, you're still doing your podcast as well, Living the Gimmick. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Living the Gimmick, pro wrestling podcast. We've been going for 5 years now. It's been a lot of fun covering all of professional wrestling. It's enabled me to endeavor in a bunch of different opportunities. We have a Patreon where people sign up, patreon.com/livinggimmick, for a ton of bonus content. We just did a 3-hour taping today for that. And I'm still doing the Limitless Wrestling podcast, too. So even though I'm not in Maine, I'm still very much part of the Maine combat sports scene, if you will. And staying very active in that. I think Limitless Wrestling is changing the game in Maine and putting Maine professional wrestling on the map. And I'm so here for it. I'm such a big fan of it. And as I say, Rich, you never know when someone's going to show up.
Well, we hope so. Fingers crossed. Hey, John, it is great to talk with you. Thanks so much for catching up with us this afternoon. We need to do it again more often.
Let's do it again. I think they play again in like a week and a half or something. So let's touch base. I'll have my people call your people.
Excellent. That sounds good. Thanks, John.
Take care.